Thanks, Nathan. Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Hall. It's Maryland Morning with Sheila Cass. Glad you're with us this morning. For the past 11 years, the Chesapeake Shakespeare Company has been offering Shakespeare classics and other iconic dramas in various locations in and around Howard County. They'll be moving to a new theater in Baltimore in the fall, and although they'll continue to give outdoor performances in the summer at Patapsco Female Institute Historic Park in Ellicott City, they are giving their final indoor performances in Howard County this week and next. The Merry Wives of Windsor is at the Howard County Center for the Arts before they move to their new home on Redwood Street here in Charm City. Ian Galliner is the founding artistic director of the Chesapeake Shakespeare Company. He directed this production. Leslie Malin is the theater's managing director. She's also an actor who plays one of the Merry Wives, and they join me here in Studio A this morning. Good to see you both.
Good morning, Tom.
And congratulations on this show. My wife, Linnell, and I saw it on Friday night. We had a lot of fun. So, Ian, there are, by some estimates, 30-something plays of Shakespeare, 37, mm-hmm. maybe as many as 40, who knows. You know all of them. You're a Shakespeare scholar. What's the first thing you decide to do when you make the decision that I'm going to do play X, in this case, Merry Wives of Windsor? What's the first move you make?
Yeah. Well, you know, directing a Shakespeare play is sort of like a chef having a good fish. And what I mean by that is... you know, you can't just sort of take the halibut and unwrap it and put it on the plate of your customer, in our case, our audience. And so what you have to figure out how to put that fish in its best light. You know, and it might be sushi. It might be, you know, putting together with carrots to make it look like the Eiffel Tower or something. So, but you want to find some creative way to present this great fish, or in this case, a great play. And so what the first thing I do is I think about the themes of the play and how the play is built, and find a way to sort of cook it up.
Mm-hmm. And you decided to cook it in the 1970s.
Yeah,
In this case, yeah. It's kind of a disco version of an Elizabethan play. What led to that call?
Well, you know, it's a very silly play, and it's got this at center, this character Falstaff, and Falstaff is, of course, a very famous Shakespeare comic character. But we see that character less and less in the contemporary world. So I wanted to make sure I could put Falstaff in an environment that made sense to people. The most modern, Falstaffian character that I could come up with that actually made me smile was Barry White. So I thought, we could do a Falstaff as Barry White, set it into the 1970s, that kind of era of wine, women, and song, which the play is about, too, and have some fun with it.
Mm-hmm. And so Leslie Malin is an actress. You play one of the Merry Wives. Falstaff tries to allegedly seduce you and another wife to take your money, and this is his shtick in the play. And he considers himself quite the Don Juan and quite capable of seducing any and all women. That doesn't happen in the play by any means. When you research this, when you prepare to be an actor in a production like this, are you worrying both about sort of the Elizabethan time in which it was originally set, as well as the 1970s? Did you have to go back? And you're too young to remember the 1970s, so I mean, did you have to research both the disco era as well as the Elizabethan era?
It's an interesting question because we were in the middle of rehearsing, and the Elizabethan characters are so offended. Their honor is really hurt by this man thinking that he can seduce them, and so it's kind of a really serious thing. And at one point, I'm talking about, you know, what unweighed behavior hath this drunkard picked out of my conversation that he dares in this manner assay me? And I was being really offended. And Ian said, it's the 1970s. It's not that big a deal. And so, you know, I had to realize that to scale back my behavior and not be so devastated by this and treat it much more as a lark.
Yeah. So, Ian, there is both a risk, I suppose, and a reward to changing the time period of a play. I mean, Elizabethan era is obviously has nothing to do with the disco era of the 1970s. But when you do that, you do have to make some adjustments. Do you make any adjustments actually to the script itself?
Not to the text. Some people do, but I have sort of a rule that we only say Shakespeare's words. Now, we cut some, sure enough, but I mean, you know, most of these plays, if you do them uncut, they run about 3 hours or so, or even longer, and I'm just not so sure our audience is patient enough with that.
Yeah.
But I only use Shakespeare's words. And the plays, what's great about the plays is they're elastic enough. I mean, there's so many great things about these plays. But one thing is they're very elastic. So when you start moving them around and you start sort of changing, not changing, but sort of adapting the meanings to some of the text, they're very friendly for that.
Is the fact that Shakespeare permeates so much of pop culture now? I was interested that a few weeks ago, Kevin Spacey gave an interview to Dave Zurowick at The Sun talking about House of Cards, saying that basically the whole thing is Shakespearean, that the House of Cards premise is Shakespearean. In particular, he alluded to the fact of the direct address, the fact that his character turns and faces the camera and, you know, gives little bon mots of, you know, insight. Yeah. He says that's absolutely Richard III. You know? Does that help hinder in any way people's perception and people's capacity to understand and appreciate Shakespeare's work?
I think it only helps. I mean, Shakespeare is kind of everywhere in our society, in our culture. You just have, you know, the phrases that we use today, stories that are told over and over and over again. It's interesting that Kevin Spacey would talk about Richard III, because House of Cards, which I'm a big fan of, really just feels like Richard III. You know, he goes off and kills people, and yet you root for him. I mean, that is... Shakespeare invented that idea.
It's Richard III married to Lady Macbeth, even scarier.
Yeah, even scarier indeed. Yeah. Ian Gallagher is the artistic director, the founding artistic director of the Chesapeake Shakespeare Company. Leslie Malin is its managing director and an actor in their current production, The Merry Wives of Windsor. It's Marilyn Morning on 88.1. I'm Tom Hall. So, Leslie, you send out a survey after every performance, and I know one of your missions of the Chesapeake Shakespeare Company, it's been the mission since you guys started this operation, you know, 11 years ago, has been to help people relate to Shakespeare in a new and fresh way. What questions are you asking the survey responders after they've seen this production of Merry Wives of Windsor, for example? What are you asking them, and what are they telling you that they're hearing?
It's a very interesting survey. We're trying to find out what is actually important to people, what makes them want to come to the theater rather than what are they doing for the restaurant down the street or the gas station down the street. And so we're asking people questions like, why have you chosen to come to this play? Was it to, you know, was it because you love Shakespeare? Was it because you wanted to be with family and friends? Questions like that. Questions like what emotions have come up for you after you see the production? And so many people have used the word happy, happy, entertained, relaxed, which is a great thing. And we're asking them how long they think that this experience is going to stay with them. Mm-hmm. So we're hoping to really dig into what makes art important in people's lives and why does it have a place there, so that we can really learn to value it and talk about it in substantial ways.
So, Ian, you have a new theater opening, very exciting, in the fall. We're going to take a little radio tour of it in September when it's online and ready to go. Your big opening gala is the 20th of September. How's that going to affect your programming, your artistic process, and your, you know, approach to the mission of Chesapeake Shakespeare?
Yeah, well, what's enormously exciting about it is that not only do we have this theater not only do we have a theater, I mean, that's exciting enough, but also we are designing this theater based on our aesthetic. So we're really getting a custom-built theater for the kind of work that we do and the kind of work that we believe in, which... is enormously exciting to us. We think that it'll underline and enhance what we do. In terms of programming, it means we'll be programming a lot more, because, you know, sort of when it's not summertime, or at least warm outside, we're gypsies these days, and we're getting a home, so we can produce 7 shows in our first season.
And you're doing, what, 3 or 4 this year, something like that?
Yeah, we do 4 shows, or 4 or 5, depending on how you count them, because we do a education matinees, which is not part of our main stage season, but that'll continue to be part of an important part of what we do in the building.
And this will be the third theater to rise from the ashes in Baltimore in the last 3 years. We had the Everyman Theater 2 years ago. We had the Single Carrot Theater this year and Chesapeake Shakespeare next year. Leslie Malin, are you at all concerned that Charm City is being saturated with theaters?
I'm really not. I think that there's a place for everybody. We're all doing different kinds of things, and I think more theater begets more theater, as Vince Lancisi used to always says of every man. I think that, you know, there isn't a place for Shakespeare classics in Baltimore, not a home. Every major city in America has a Shakespeare theater except for Charlotte, Detroit, and Baltimore. And you don't want to be on a list with Detroit. So I think it's really important for Baltimore.
Probably not. Not these days. Poor Detroit. Ian, your roots are in Howard County. You've mm-hmm. been in Howard County since you started. You perform in the summer in Ellicott City. You'll continue to do that. But are you at all concerned that you're going to be disconnecting from your sort of your base audience out there in Howard County? We were there on Friday night. Big crowd, very enthusiastic crowd. It appeared to me that there were some folks in the audience who knew a lot of the folks on the stage, and including my wife and I. We are close friends of one of the actors in the production. Are you concerned that, you know, the move to Baltimore is going to disconnect you from the folks who started with you?
One of the most delightful things that we've learned in this process is that the folks in Howard County who have been so supportive of us really think of this as just an opportunity for not just our company, but for them to show off the company that they sort of gave birth to. So I think just the opposite has happened. We've gotten even more support from the Howard County community with this expansion, which, we're very grateful for.
And you're expecting that those folks will come from Howard County into town to see
this? I think many
new
of them will come. I think even some that don't come to see us in Howard County, who live in Howard County, might come down to Baltimore.
Mm-hmm. So next year, 7 productions instead of the 4. Anything that's not Shakespeare?
Yeah, we do, you know, probably about a third of our shows are non-Shakespeare. Next year, we're doing Christmas Carol, which will be our annual holiday event, which we're very excited about doing, with a little bit of a Baltimore theme to it. It's not a Hun Christmas Carol, but... and then we're doing Chekhov's Uncle Vanya and Oscar Wilde's Importance of Being Earnest.
Plus a whole bunch of Shakespeare.
Yeah, plus a whole bunch of Shakespeare. Yeah. Opening with Midsummer Night's Dream.
Terrific. Well, thanks to you both for coming in. I really appreciate it. Ian Gallagher is the founding artistic director of the Chesapeake Shakespeare Company. He directed their current production, The Merry Wives of Windsor. Leslie Malin is an actor in that production. She also serves as the company's managing director. You can catch The Merry Wives of Windsor Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights at 8 o'clock or Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock this weekend and next. We've got ticket information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. Before we go this morning, this programming note. Hope you'll join me for Choral Arts Classics tonight at 9 o'clock. The poet Mary Jo Salter and I will talk about the relationship between poetry and music, and you'll meet two terrific young singers, Nola Richardson and Carrie Holohan, who are making their marks as classical vocalists. That's Choral Arts Classics tonight at 9 o'clock here on 88.1 WYPR. Tomorrow morning, Sheila explores a bill in front of the General Assembly that guarantees rights for transgender people in public accommodations, and I'll take a trip to the American Visionary Art Museum to catch their current exhibition, Human Soul and Machine. That's all coming up tomorrow morning on Maryland Morning. For Sheila Cass, Nathan Sterner, producers Stephanie Hughes, Matt Purdy, and Jamila Kay, and intern Cassandra Morales, I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.